She married to erase the past, but love has a twisted memory. Everyone warned Jordan Ray not to rush into another marriage, but after surviving her abusive ex-husband, Marcus, she thought marrying a woman would be the ultimate reset. Her new wife, Camille, was charming, sensual, and promised safety wrapped in silk sheets and whispered lies. Jordan believed she was finally free, until she found Camille's burner phone hidden in a hollowed-out book. The texts? Obscene. Familiar. Impossible. They were from Marcus. What began as a trauma bond became a web of humiliation. Her wife, it turns out, wasn't just into domination. She was aroused by betrayal, by turning enemies into lovers. And Marcus, with his charm and cruelty, was the final kink in Camille's game. Now Jordan isn't just betrayed, she's hunted. Because once you know Camille's secrets, you're either part of the fantasy or a threat that needs to be erased. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Reset Button. Jordan Ray always believed in clean breaks. When she left Marcus, her ex-husband, it wasn't with a whisper. It was with a police report, a suitcase of bruises, and a restraining order that barely held him back. Their 5-year marriage had gone from passionate to prison. The charming entrepreneur she married morphed into a controlling manipulator who knew how to weaponize charm and money alike. But she survived. She moved across the country, changed careers from corporate PR to freelance branding, and dyed her hair to a shade he'd hate. For 2 years, Jordan was invisible and safe. Then came Camille. They met in a client meeting. Camille Archer was the founder of a boutique fashion house, bold, British, and unapologetically gay. Camille had an elegance that made people lean in when she spoke, a laugh like ice in whiskey, and a magnetism that disarmed even Jordan's deep-rooted defenses. Within 3 months, they were inseparable. Within 6, they were married. Jordan told herself it was fast, but Camille had money, maturity, and no baggage. Or so it seemed. Camille made her feel cherished, wanted, safe in a way Marcus never could. But the cracks started early. It began with the questions, subtle at first. Who was that calling you at 9 p.m? Why did you like his Instagram post? Why haven't you deleted your wedding photos with Marcus? Jordan told herself it was trauma. Maybe Camille had been hurt too. Maybe she was just protective. But then came the games. Camille was sexually adventurous, more than Jordan had expected. At first, it felt liberating. But over time, the scenarios turned dark. She wanted Jordan to pretend she was still with Marcus. She whispered fantasies about revenge, about ruining men who hurt women. She introduced handcuffs, blindfolds, choking. Then one night, Camille said something that made Jordan's blood run cold. "What if I slept with your ex? Would that turn you on? Or break you?" Jordan laughed nervously. "That's not funny." Camille just smirked. "Good. Pain is where the truth lives." Jordan brushed it off. But the next morning, Camille was gone until noon. No explanation. Just the smell of cigarette smoke and a hotel keycard in her jacket pocket from a chain in the same city where Marcus lived. She didn't say anything. Because silence was safer than confrontation. 3 weeks later, Jordan found the burner phone. Camille was away at a design retreat in Palm Springs. Jordan was reorganizing their shared home office when she accidentally knocked a hardcover copy of Lolita off the shelf. It landed strangely, too light. The pages were glued together, and inside was a hollowed-out pocket holding a cheap burner phone and a tube of Chanel red lipstick. Curiosity bloomed like rot. She powered it on. No passcode. 12 messages. All recent. All from one number, Marcus. Marcus, she still cries after sex, that's so you. Marcus, send me a pic of her sleeping, I want to see what I broke. Marcus, you moan different when you're lying. Jordan dropped the phone. Her stomach twisted. Her palms shook. She opened the photo folder. There, clear as day, was a blurry shot of Jordan, naked and asleep. Taken from her own bed. Taken by Camille. She stumbled back, suddenly nauseous. She opened Camille's laptop. Tried passwords. Tried birthdays. Nothing. She tried the house alarm panel, something she'd never questioned before. It wasn't registered to her. Camille had all the power. Her wife had been sending nude photos of her to her ex-husband, and Jordan had slept through it. The confrontation was nuclear. When Camille returned, Jordan waited at the kitchen table with the burner phone and a printed transcript of the messages. Camille walked in, kissed her on the forehead like nothing had happened. Jordan didn't speak, just pushed the evidence across the table. Camille didn't even flinch. She read the texts with detached amusement. Then she looked up and said, "Do you want the truth, or do you want to be comforted?" Jordan stared at her in disbelief. "You slept with him?" Camille smiled. "Twice, maybe three. I lose count when I'm in control." Jordan stood, knocking over the chair. "What the hell is wrong with you?" Camille's eyes narrowed. "Don't act so innocent. You wanted someone who could hurt Marcus for you. You just didn't expect me to do it with my legs open." Tears burned Jordan's face. "You're sick." Camille stepped closer. "No, love. I'm honest. I knew exactly how to make you feel safe. That's how you trap a survivor. You offer them protection, then remind them they're still prey." Jordan ran. She grabbed her keys, her phone, and drove to her sister's house an hour away. She didn't go back the next day. But she should have, because Camille wasn't done. 2 days later, Jordan's Instagram was hacked. Her backup email received a message from an unknown domain. "How much of your life do you want the world to see?" Attached was a collage of images, photos Camille had taken. Some were intimate, others humiliating. One was Jordan crying in the shower. One was Jordan during a panic attack, pantsless, curled in a fetal position. Jordan filed a police report. She tried to explain that her wife was blackmailing her with non-consensual photos, but Camille had friends in high places. The detective took the report, nodded sympathetically, but nothing happened. "Hard to prove coercion in marriage," he said, "especially when she owns the property." That night, Jordan checked into a hotel under an alias. Camille posted a photo of herself alone at their home. Caption: "Some women just don't know how to stay loyal." But the real betrayal was still loading. 3 weeks later, Jordan received a video via anonymous Dropbox link. The title made her stomach lurch. The reunion. She opened it, fingers trembling. The video showed Camille in their bedroom. The camera was hidden, static and angled low. Marcus walked into frame. Jordan gasped. He kissed Camille. She mounted him. The entire encounter was mechanical, clinical, like a demonstration. Then Camille said something to the camera. "This is for you, Jordan. You always liked when I took control." Jordan collapsed to the floor. The woman she married to feel safe had brought the man she escaped back into her life and into her bed. It wasn't just betrayal. It was psychological warfare. The next day, Jordan decided to disappear. She paid cash for a prepaid phone, rented a one-bedroom Airbnb in a town Camille wouldn't expect, used a VPN to scrub her online accounts, changed all passwords. But when she opened her closet at the Airbnb, she found something taped to the inside. A note, written in Camille's lipstick. "You only run from what you secretly want." She screamed. Someone had been here before her. Camille knew where she was, and Jordan knew the rules had changed. She wasn't a wife. She wasn't an ex. She was prey, and the predators were in love. Chapter 2. Final Boss. Jordan Ray had spent her whole life trying to outmaneuver pain. She thought leaving Marcus was the end of that chapter, like a villain vanquished. But now she understood something darker. The real horror wasn't abuse. It was watching your trauma fall in love with itself. Her ex-husband, her new wife, together, in her bed, inside her head, and still playing games. But this wasn't about pleasure anymore. This was about erasure. Camille wasn't satisfied with betrayal. She needed domination. Marcus, meanwhile, loved control. And now they'd found the perfect playground, Jordan's broken boundaries. She wasn't just being stalked, she was being studied. And the worst part? Part of her still wanted answers. The Airbnb stay lasted 2 days. On the third morning, Jordan opened her laptop and found all of her client files deleted. Every pitch deck, every brand strategy, every invoice. She checked her cloud backup. It was locked. She tried to log into her bank. Account suspended due to suspicious activity. Phone rang. Unknown number. She answered. It's cute when you try to run,
Camille said. But you always come home. Jordan hung up. Her pulse was a drumbeat in her ears. She called the police again, a different precinct, asked for a digital crimes investigator. The woman on the phone was sympathetic, until she heard Camille's name. Camille Archer? From Archer House? Pause. Click. Jordan stared at the dead line, then down at her shaking hands. Camille wasn't a woman. She was a system. That night, Jordan slept with a hammer under her pillow. At 3:14 a.m., the fire alarm went off. There was no smoke, just a small blinking red light outside the bedroom window. A drone, hovering, watching. She screamed and ran out the back door. She drove to a 24-hour diner, parked in the lot, and cried until sunrise. She needed help, real help. So she called Chloe. Chloe was her former therapist. Jordan had stopped seeing her when she married Camille. She was trying to move on, after all. But now she knew better. The session was virtual, encrypted, secure. Jordan spilled everything. The burner phone, the messages, the video, the lipstick note. Chloe listened quietly, then asked the question Jordan dreaded. Do you still love Camille? Jordan wanted to scream, no. But she paused too long. That pause was the problem. You're trauma-bonded, Chloe said. Camille knows how to keep you just close enough to hurt you. But you need to understand something. This isn't just toxic. It's sociopathic. You're a possession to her. And she's sharing that possession with your abuser. You're the prize in a power game. Jordan whispered, so how do I win? Chloe's eyes didn't blink. You burn the game board. Step one was learning to disappear. Jordan dyed her hair black, bought thrift store clothes three sizes too big, tossed her iPhone and switched to a flip phone, deleted every online profile, cut all social ties except Chloe and her sister Dana. She paid cash for a cheap studio in a city Camille had no ties to. She worked under a pseudonym, J. Ray. Took freelance jobs through darknet marketplaces. Brand ghostwriting for whistleblowers. No one knew her name. For 8 weeks, there was silence. No texts, no calls, no notes. She started to believe she was free. But Camille wasn't done. She was just waiting. The invitation came in the mail. Plain white envelope. Handwritten address. Inside, a wedding invitation. Camille Archer and Marcus Ray. Location, private estate, upstate. Date, in 2 weeks. Dress code, crushed velvet and vendettas. Jordan dropped the card. It felt like acid on her skin. This wasn't a ceremony. This was a threat. She threw the envelope in the trash, but her hands wouldn't stop shaking. Chloe said, "Don't go." Dana said, "If you go, bring a gun." But Jordan didn't want revenge. She wanted closure. And part of her, the fractured, terrified part, wanted Camille to look her in the eye and admit it was all a performance. That maybe, deep down, there was love. That maybe she mattered. The estate was 3 hours away. She arrived at dusk. The house was gothic. Cold stone and crimson lights. The driveway was lined with torches. Guests were in masquerade. Everything felt choreographed. Like a nightmare designed just for her. At the door, a man in a plague mask took her name. Ah, the original Mrs. Ray, he whispered. We've been expecting you. She walked inside. Music throbbed. Velvet curtains, champagne towers, erotic paintings. Everything screamed decadence. At the far end of the ballroom, Camille stood on a raised platform in a blood-red wedding dress. Next to her, Marcus. Wearing black. They looked like royalty in hell. Then Camille spotted Jordan, her eyes lit up like a predator spotting wounded prey. She raised her glass. To the woman who made me believe in control. Everyone turned. Jordan froze. Camille descended the stairs. Marcus followed like a shadow. They reached her. Camille kissed her on the cheek. Thank you for coming, love. You always were obedient. Jordan's voice cracked. Why? Camille tilted her head. Why what? Why him? Why this? Camille smirked. Because pain is art. And you, darling, were my favorite canvas. Marcus chuckled. You should have killed me when you had the chance. Camille leaned closer. But instead, you married us both. Jordan backed away, but Camille grabbed her wrist. Stay for the vows. I wrote them just for you. Jordan ripped her arm free and ran, but she didn't leave the estate, not yet. She ran to the master suite. The door was locked. She kicked it open. Inside, photos, hundreds, printed and strung up like a crime board. All of Jordan, sleeping, crying,
dressing, screaming. A timeline of her collapse. This wasn't a wedding. It was a museum. She wasn't a guest. She was the exhibit. She tore the photos down, set them on fire in the sink. Smoke filled the room. Footsteps thundered outside. Camille burst in, eyes wide. What have you done? Jordan stood tall. I gave your art a real ending. Camille lunged. They fought. Fingernails, fists, fury. Marcus appeared behind her, but Jordan had planned for that. She reached into her pocket. Pepper spray. Straight into his eyes. He screamed and dropped. Camille tackled her. They slammed into the wall. A mirror shattered. Blood. Screams. Choking. But Jordan wasn't the same woman she'd been. She was rage refined. She grabbed a shard of glass, held it to Camille's throat. Camille froze. Jordan panted, face inches away. This ends now. Camille laughed, weakly. You won't kill me. You're right, Jordan said. Then she pulled out her phone and pressed play, audio recording, the whole conversation. Because pain is art, and you, darling, were my favorite canvas. Camille's eyes widened. Jordan whispered, I'm not your victim, I'm your ghost. Then she walked away. Left the estate in flames, photos smoldering, lies collapsing. 2 weeks later, Camille was arrested for digital exploitation and harassment. The recording and photo evidence triggered multiple investigations. Marcus disappeared again, like he always did when heat rose. Jordan testified. She became the face of trauma survivors reclaiming their stories. She started a podcast called Canvas. Each episode, a survivor reclaiming what was stolen. Her tagline, pain doesn't make art, it makes revolution. And Camille? Camille got 5 years, but Jordan knew, even in a cage, some monsters still dream of velvet.